This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is brought to you by ISC 12, the premier conference for driving innovation, information, and discussion about high-performance computing, networking, storage, and more. Join the global HPC community June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. www.isc12.org.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
ARM charts path into big data.
And a tragic loss for the HPC community.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for June 1st, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, before we get into some of the news for the week, you had an announcement at Intersect 360 Research. You announced this new HPC 500 community. Let's briefly just kind of talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we had a quick news item of our own. We publicly announced the formation of this group, the HPC 500, that we're assembling in order to be a bellwether group for the industry that will span 500 users worldwide from all vertical markets, all budget ranges, all geographies, such that when we track what the HPC 500 is doing in the industry, it'll be a real hallmark for the direction of HPC as a whole.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you hear about, there's probably a handful of groups sort of like this that I hear about, advisory groups or community groups where they've sort of coalesced some of the stakeholders.
Right.
So kind of how is this one different from the ones we've already seen out there?
Well, first of all, we're offering a lot of benefits to users who will sign up, including free access to all of our market research if they'll participate. One of our expectations is that the only cost for the user is we'd like them to participate in our surveys as they go forward. But the big difference here is most of the other communities out there are organized by vendors, first of all. They tend to be more aligned around particular technologies or particular user groups for a particular vendor. The other thing is they tend to skew toward the high end. They tend to be overweighted to the public supercomputing sites who are a little easier to count. Mm-hmm. We're trying to reach a little deeper into the entry level and mid-range, get demographic representation from things like high-performance business computing or digital manufacturing community in the entry level and mid-range. And we've announced our first 50 members of HPC 500 in a way that's already very balanced for the industry as a whole.
Well, good luck with that. Sounds like you guys are off to a great start.
Thanks. We're pretty excited about it. We've been working on it for a while, and we'll be recruiting for it all year.
Great. Something else for you to do in your copious spare time.
HPC500.com. There you go.
Excellent. Well, actually, it was a pretty slow week news-wise, but there was some interesting news that we picked up on, and it has to do with this ARM sort of microserver phenomenon that's occurring. Dell announced something this week.
You had a couple of articles on ARM in HPC Wire and its sister publications this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's interested me for a while. I mean, this microserver phenomenon is sort of lurking at the edge of HPC. It's people don't talk about it necessarily as a high-performance thing because they're basically low-performance sort of these servers, these things with ARM chips and these low-power Atom and Intel Xeon chips. But it is, you know, very concerned with power and density and hyperscale data centers. So it does have this relevancy, and we learned a little bit more about it this week. I talked to one vendor, and then we had the news with Dell and ARM. And just to recap the Dell ARM news, it's basically they had this thing going, this copper server that they've come up with. It's sort of an experimental platform using an ARM chip from Marvell, which is geared towards servers, and they had this going for a while, and they just sort of re-upped their commitment to it and said, yes, they are distributing this to some select customers to sort of test and evaluate this platform and the technology for presumably future products. I'm not sure if Dell's ever going to sell this Copper server as such. It might have some follow-on. In the same way that HP is doing it with Redstone. Now, they're using a different ARM server chip. That's from Calxeda, a company we're going to talk about in a moment. But they're starting, these servers, these microservers are starting to make their way into the community just as evaluation platforms for the time being. But it looks like these things are sort of heading our way, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but there is an HPC hook into this.
Well, yeah, it's important for the HPC industry in that a lot of the stuff on the GPU side, NVIDIA's vision or AMD's vision is to start hooking in an ARM chip to a more high-powered accelerator. I haven't seen a whole lot of demand for just ARMs without accelerators in HPC applications without the accelerator.
Right. I mean, that's definitely part of the heterogeneous component of this, that ARM is... could be a good fit for that sort of heterogeneous environment. They're basically low power CPUs, and if you have a big hefty GPU or FPGA or other accelerator on top of that, you don't necessarily need a big fat Xeon or Opteron on the CPU side. But the other aspect, even without the accelerator, there's certain application areas in HPC and basically the data intensive side of HPC where these sort of low power slow ARM chips might be very useful. And it's basically because of the fact that when you're doing things like data-intensive codes, like MapReduce-type things or Hadoop-type things or anything that is sort of I/O-bound or memory-bound, you don't need a really fast CPU with a lot of capability to do that, and even a lot of floating-point capability, because some of these data-intensive codes or data manipulation, the CPU is waiting for the data at the disk, or it's waiting for it in memory, and it doesn't matter how fast your CPU is. I mean, you can't wait any faster because you're at 3.5 megahertz. You just don't need a big chip for that. So things that need a lot of throughput but are very data intensive are good fits for this. And there's a lot of codes that are already like that in HPC. And as we're seeing with the big data push, there's more and more of these codes, and there's more and more interest in crunching these big data sets.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the argument that was put forth in that Calxeda article that you had, was that ARM is ideal for big data because you don't need the big computation. And there's something to that argument in that when we look at how people are evaluating technologies for big data, we did a study with over 300 respondents, including both HPC-oriented users and non-HPC enterprise-oriented users on their technology evaluations for big data. And you know, the thing that comes up really high across the board is I/O performance, and people don't worry quite as much about the computational aspects of it. So for a second, it looks like there's an opportunity for ARM. But on the other hand, when we look at the actual evaluation of some of the compute technologies, ARM comes in very low on the importance scale. When we look at these satisfaction gap ratings between how important is something and how satisfied are you with something, ARM really doesn't come up very much. And I think that comes back to some of the other evaluation criteria that, first of all, power consumption, as much as you hear people talk about it in the vendor community, doesn't get cited as a big hurdle for the big data types of end users for most of them. And then more importantly, what tends to get a very high rating is the desire to use the same infrastructure for both big data and other enterprise types of workloads where maybe the ARM isn't as good a fit.
Right, and I think that's also would apply to HPC, where you're looking at a mixed workloads or even a single application that has different characteristics while it's running. Mm-hmm. At some point, it might need a lot of single-threaded performance all of a sudden, maybe for a minority of that execution, but then for most of its execution, it's I/O bound. For that, it's sort of a hard fit because you've got these low power ARM chips that are going to sort of really slow down on those single threaded applications or parts of applications and then really be efficient at the other part. But you have the same problem on the other side, where if you buy a cluster with a lot of, you know, big fat energy sucking chips, it's going to be wasting a lot of energy for the majority of those workloads and applications, and then just go really fast when you need it. But like you said, some users are going to want that. They're going to want to over provision their infrastructure and make sure they've got the fastest they can when they need it, and then they'll just live with the, sort of the inefficiencies the rest of the time. And that's
right.
You know, people are going to make different decisions about how they want to do that. But certainly, you know, with power and cooling issues looming, I think these ARM servers are going to get a better look. I mean, they're not out now, and I'm not surprised that they're not getting a lot of traction now. I mean, they're basically experimental platforms. For one thing, they're also 32-bit right now. I mean, ARM is coming out with its 64-bit design in a couple of years. We'll probably start seeing those, but it's really an emerging technology now, and it's not something that's accepted in the community. It's at the beginning of the beginning.
Right, and I don't want to throw too much of a wet blanket on it. I mean, there are certainly going to be big data types of application areas where you might find something where an appliance is going to fit, where this is an in-the-box appliance that's specifically targeted to categories of big data applications, and we don't intend you to use it for other things. You might find a certain category of users who's willing to buy that at a particular price point.
Right, and certainly for the world outside of HPC, the hyperscale data centers, the Googles and the Facebooks, and that sort of level of computing, something like this can be very very attractive just on that scale because of the power efficiencies involved. But I have a feeling this technology will find its way into HPC one way or another. It'll just be interesting to see, you know, how that occurs, when that occurs, and who's going to be sort of a first mover on that.
Yeah, I think this is probably a little ways away from adoption in HPC and even for the majority of big data applications.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with the rest of the news.
ISE 12 unites the global HPC community for information sharing, discussion, and collaboration for advancing scientific discovery and high-performance applications. Join over 2,400 attendees from academia, research, and industry to take advantage of a wide range of hot topics and in-depth sessions throughout the five-day technical program led by HPC's leading experts. You won't want to miss four compelling keynotes exploring the top 500 or learning about key topics facing the industry today. Exascale, energy efficiency, cloud, or big data. Join networking sessions with like-minded researchers, scientists, and vendors to exchange information, shape collaborations, and build new strategic partnerships. ISE 12 also features over 170 leading solutions providers and research organizations showcasing the newest technologies and research. Visit www.isc12.org for the full agenda.
Okay, we're back from our break, and Michael, our other news story today is unfortunately a very sad one. We came back from Memorial Day weekend last week to the very tragic news that Kirill Feinoff, who'd been the general manager of the HPC team at Microsoft, passed away last Friday, May 25th, of undisclosed causes. Michael, Kirill was smart, charismatic, witty, very popular, well-recognized leader in the HPC industry. This is very, very sad.
Oh, it is. That's tragic news. I mean, we both knew him a little bit. I spoke with him on a number of occasions. You know, he brought a lot of enthusiasm and personality to that group in Microsoft while it was active, in its heyday, and in 2010, 2009. And this is just terrible news. I mean, he was a young guy. He was 38. Yep. And, you know, he's going to be missed. I mean, he moved on from that Microsoft group in 2011, but a lot of people knew him in the community. And, yeah, there's quite a bit of sadness going around right now about that.
Right. It was under Kirill's leadership that Windows really was growing its share in HPC. He had attracted a lot of talent onto that team until the reorganization in 2011 and really started taking them a different direction a couple months ago. But it was in the middle of that that Kirill was honored on the HPC Wire People to Watch list for 2010.
Right.
We did a podcast back then 2 years ago. Let's listen to a little bit of what Tom Tabor, the head of Tabor Communications and HPC Wire, had to say about Kirill on that podcast.
Don't let those boyish looks fool you. I mean, Kirill may look like this very young man about to launch a career, but this guy is a seasoned manager. There are some very deep and strong skills in this young man.
Well, I mean, Kirill had so much promise. There was so much more we were looking forward to seeing from him. A really tragic loss for the HPC community.
Yeah, truly is. Truly.
Microsoft has issued this statement. Words are incredibly difficult at a time like this. Kirill had a positive impact on so many of us. The sense of loss is massive. Our thoughts are with Kirill's family and friends. This statement comes from Ted Cummert, Microsoft Corporate Vice President of the Business Platforms Division. That's the division which Kirill had worked for the past several months following the reorganization of that HPC team. Microsoft also re-released a link to a video that Kirill made in which he shares some of his passions and inspirations for technical computing. You can find that link in my Twitter feed, at Addison Snell, or go directly to vimeo.com/11770336. Michael, this is just a terrible loss for the HPC industry and, of course, for his friends and family. For our listeners who know Kirill, there's an online memorial for him at imorial.com/fainoff, imorial.com/fainov, where you can leave a memory, a tribute, or a note for his wife, Lauren. There's also an education fund that's been established for his two daughters, Pasha and Avery. And if you care to make a donation, that information is also on the iMorial site as well, imorial.com/fainoff. Kirill Fainoff, a beloved member of the HPC community, passed away at age 38. We'll miss him very much. For Michael Feldman, this is Addison Snell. You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by ISC 12, the 27th International Supercomputing Conference. Come and join 2,400 members of the HPC community from June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. Visit www.isc12.org.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.